Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for the privilege and we thank you for the opportunity. We humble ourselves in just awe, in your awe, Lord, in awe of you for this great privilege and this great opportunity to hear the Word of God, to study the Word of God together, to receive your Word. We receive it tonight as not the Word of a man or even the opinion of a person. Father, we receive your Word as you talking directly to us. We thank you for your Word tonight, that your Word is eternal, it's life-changing, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Father God, that the entrance of your Word will give and produce light and understanding. We thank you for divine illumination, revelation, insights, understandings that we haven't had before up to this time. We thank you for breakthroughs by revelation tonight. We thank you for not only divine information, but Holy Spirit impartation into our hearts and into our minds to change us for the better forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, all to the glory of God. We give you all of the praise, all of the honor, and all of the glory, Lord, for everything that will be done in and through your Word and by the confirmation and demonstration and manifestation of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' most precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you and welcome to those who are here in person and to those online. Praise God. And so we're so happy that you're logged in online with us. And invite a friend. We ask you to invite, share it. Share it to someone else. Let them know that you're in church. Let them know that you're getting ready to receive the Word of God in church. Praise God. Isn't that a good thing? And they can do the same thing online if they just tune in, hook up with us. And if you're online, just tell us hello. Tell us who you're watching. And also, if you're new with us online, they'll put the information up the screen that let you know how to connect with us a little bit further. And so we'd like to connect with you. You can text WELCOME, just the word WELCOME, to 210-941-3322. And it'll come back to you in a link, text. And then, of course, you just click on the link, and then you can fill out a digital connection card and let us know that you're who you are and where you're from so we can connect with you a little further and pray for you. If you need prayer, if you need to give, they'll put that information up there as well. And so we take prayer requests. We're going to have corporate prayer tomorrow in church. And so you can text the word pray and say, please pray for me. Or just type it into your the chat box there online and let us know that you have a prayer request or a prayer need. We would love to pray with you about that. And then, of course, you can text PRAY to that same number I just gave you, 210-941-3322. Or you can give online. You text the giving. They'll put the number up. It's a different number, but you just text the dollar amount to that number, text give. Or you can also give through our website or app. And convenient, safe, easy ways for you to give. All right, we're going to go into the Word of God, Matthew 28:18-20. Matthew 28:18-20. Tonight we're going to talk about connecting the found to the Word and to the church. So we're just going to go a little bit deeper than what we talked about last week because we're talking about discipling the found. And discipling the found includes these connection components. Now we're going to, by the grace and help of God, cover two tonight, and then we're going to go in depth about the other one next week as the Lord leads and directs. And so Matthew 28:18-20, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given authority, all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Isn't that a beautiful section of scripture? But in the context and components of these scriptures is our great commission. We said it's not a great suggestion. and shouldn't be in our lives a great omission, but it is a great commission. Everybody say the Great Commission. The Great Commission. So that, along with Mark's account of going into all the world and preach the gospel, is our Great Commission. Praise God. And, of course, in the previous weeks, we shared that we must remember that as born-again believers and Christ followers, we are to produce fruit. And one of the major fruit that we are to produce through our grace-empowered and faithful efforts is to increase the harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. Everybody say, I'm called, I'm created, I'm even commanded to create increase in the harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. So you have to declare and proclaim that over your life. That is what I am created, called, and commanded to do. To through my faithful efforts, with the cooperation of the Holy Spirit, through the Word, produce increase in the harvest of soul. Add the body count to heaven. Subtract the body count from hell. Amen? Make, overpopulate heaven and empty out hell. Amen. Praise God. And so the purpose we must understand is that our God called us to be both faithful and fruitful. Everybody say, I'm called to be both faithful and fruitful. So how's your fruit bearing going? And so Proverbs 11:30 in the Amplified says it this way: the fruit of the uncompromisingly righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise captures human lives. So if you want to call yourself wise, that means what are you doing? Capturing human lives. For who? For God. If you want to say, I'm wise, you are capturing human lives for God as a fisher of men. He gathers and receives them for eternity. So we are to be about our Father's business of capturing human lives for him as fishers of men. And so we talked about how to make disciples of the found, because disciples are made and developed and not born. It's not automatically, just like a baby that born in your family through your, you know, husband and wife having a baby, a newborn baby, they don't automatically turn into an adult. They have to be disciplined, developed, amen. They have to mature, and so the parents have a great role and responsibility in that process. And so disciples are the same way in the kingdom. They are not just made and developed. They are made and developed and not born. Excuse me. They are made and developed and not born. So all churches and all believers are called to help new Christians. So you can't say, I'm not, that's not my job. Well, it's part of the commission. It is a big component of the commission, Great Commission. So with this calling, so we're called to help new Christians develop into mature, functioning believers and Christ followers. With this calling comes a responsibility. Everybody say, I have a responsibility. A responsibility is a task or duty we're expected or required to perform. So I think sometimes people think, well, I can opt out of that. There's no opt-out option. This is our responsibility. We are responsible for all the babies, the newborn Christians, babies born in our church or born in our sphere of influence, is to help them be and become and develop into disciples of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so as a church, we are to empower our members, friends, and partners to fulfill these responsibilities as believers and Christ followers. Church membership should serve as an introduction to fervent and intentional discipleship. Fervent and intentional. That means we are passionate about people. What kind of people? We're passionate about the lost. We're passionate also about discipling the found. Because some people like to go fishing, but they don't like to clean the fish. But somebody's got to clean the fish. Amen. All right. So, church is to be God's fireplace, igniting its members toward discipleship. The church is God's officially designated University of Discipleship. And it has been authorized to prepare his followers, Christ's followers, to represent him and his kingdom perspective to the culture. Man, we need that today. You know, if you don't have Christians changing and cooling off, you got Christians going into the closet, closing down. We need to be shining bright lights. Amen. Jesus said we're the light of the what? World. We're not the light of the church, because that's Jesus, but we are to be the light of the world. We are to be the salt of the earth, not the salt of the church. We are the salt of the earth. Amen. We're to be salt and light, making a very good reflection of our Lord to the world around us. Can somebody say praise the Lord? So discipleship is the process of the local church that seeks to bring believers from spiritual infancy or babyhood to spiritual maturity, adulthood, so that they are then able to repeat the process with someone else. God's goal is for you to become a visible and verbal follower of Christ and then replicate that in someone else's life. So we said real simply this: to make a disciple, you have to be and become a disciple. You can't circumvent the process or shortcut or cut around the process. You can't make a disciple unless you be and become a disciple. And then we said it all about connections, and so we're going to dive a little deeper into these. It's all about connection. Anything that grows and thrives does so because of its connections. Everybody say connections. Connections. We said we use the cell phone analogy, and then we use the tomato plant analogy last week. You know, they have to stay on the vine for them to get fully ripe and ready to serve. Amen. In a salad or whatever. Amen. So there are three S's of connections. So how do you tell if you're connected? Three S's. Number one, security. Security. Everybody say security. See, first and foremost, these connections points provide security. That is, they offer protection for the believer as they grow in the local church. I mean, you know, coming to church and being a part of the church is safe and sound and secure. Because if you're left to your own devices, you could get deceived or led astray. That's why the scripture is very loud and clear, ladies and gentlemen. Let me preach it from the housetop right now. Very loud and clear. Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the what? The assembling of yourselves together. Amen. But even as we get closer to the end of time and the day approaches for the Lord to return, we ought to exhort and encourage and basically prod each other along daily. He said, exhort one another daily. So nobody should get mad when we're saying, come to church. Nobody should get irritated when he says, well, he's always talking about reminding us to come to church. Yes, because I'm doing the Bible. The Bible says exhort one another daily. What should you be doing? Encouraging one another daily. Number two, stability. Stability. This is needed because when the winds blow and the storms rage, and they will, every believer needs to be rooted so that they can have a place of stability when the storms of life come. We often says the reality of pain, problems or perils or predicaments that we all face, pressures, whatever the case may call it in that category. The reality of pain is inevitable, but our response to pain is our choice. And what connections provide is stability in response to pain, storms, trials, troubles. Now, some people have what we call the extremes. In psychology, they call it the fight or flight. And so some people want to fight the wrong fight on this side, or some people want to flight or run and hide on this side. But see, church is like a family full of connections, a spiritual family full of connections. So when you're going through, that's why the scripture says, when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Together. It says together with it. So in other words, when you hurt, I hurt. But what's the stability in that? That means together, everyone achieves more. That's called team. T-E-A-M. Together. Isolation is never and never will be the will of God. That's why in the commission, Jesus made that profound statement. He said, no, be sure of this. I am with you. When? How? Always. That means when I'm in my lowest of lows, Jesus is there. The Lord is there with me. When I'm in my highest of highs, he's there. But he's also left a body, his body, called the church, to be there when we're going through our respective storms, our trials, our pain. Amen? So we need stability. Everybody say stability. Stability. All right, number three. The third benefit of connections is sustenance. This is the, of course, is what gives a new believer and as well as a mature believer the food and nutrients they need to grow and sustain growth. That means we come to church to eat. Now, we're not just having food and fun and fellowship all the time as far as natural sense, but we are coming to eat spiritual food. The spiritual meal is delivered through your church. Amen. But the reason people don't stay healthy or they get weak is because they don't eat. Now, we'll extrapolate or explain that a little bit more when we talk about the connection to the Word, because that's the big one. I can always, as a pastor and teacher, I know when people are not eating. I can tell when they haven't been eating. Now, I'm not looking at them physically. I'm looking at them spiritually. Amen. Because there is sustenance in a church that preaches and teaches the Word. Because that Word will address and will help you be equipped to deal with every area of your life. Too often we devalue the Word of God. We don't hold it in high esteem. Hey, when you're coming to eat, man, I'm talking about this stuff is eternal food. This is heavenly manna. Amen, when you're getting the Word of God. And so this is needed for your food and nutrients to help you grow and sustain your growth. How well are you eating? See, without proper nutrients, the root systems the new baby will never grow or produce fruit that the Lord is looking for in and through their life. Because what's the ultimate purpose? That you and I produce fruit. Why aren't you producing fruit? Well, maybe I'm not connected as well. Why aren't you connected? Well, it could be another number of reasons. But those are the things you need to be able to ascertain and assess about your spiritual life and journey. The baby Christians left to themselves will never produce the fruit of a mature believer. Now, Psalms 92, verse 12 through 14 gives us a good description of being planted and producing. Being planted and producing. It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted, everybody say planted, Everybody say, be planted. Planted in the house of the Lord. Where? The house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear what? Fruit. When? In old age. See, we don't get old and dry up. And we're unfruitful. We're supposed to be old and current and producing fruit and being faithful. They shall be fresh and what? Flourishing. Not only do they, they're fresh fruits on them. That means I'm not talking about stuff I did a decade ago. I'm fresh right now. I'm relevant. I'm current right now. I'm fresh. Everybody say I'm fresh. You want to be fresh right now and flourishing. Producing. Having a vibrant relationship with the Lord and with others. Amen. See, every child of God, every believer in Christ should and needs to be connected and planted to their local church. They need to be connected and planted to their local church. Now, there's three connections every church should provide, and we're going to extrapolate on the two tonight. A little bit more, and we shared about last week, there's three connections. I'll give you all three up front, and then we'll kind of go through each one, and then we'll save the third one for next time. First, connection to the Word of God. Connection to the Word of God. So as we're making disciples, what do? You wean them onto the Word of God. Now, you might think of it in contemporary speech like this. Wean them off the words and lies of the devil and their unbelieving friends and family, and wean them on to the Word of God. Get them hooked to the Word of God. Because culture creates strong connections people have, and they may not be healthy, good connections. So sometimes we need to be weaned off of things so that we can be weaned on to the God things and the righteous things. Second is the connection to the church. Connect to the church, being connected to the church. Everybody say the church. And then, of course, the third one, which we won't discuss tonight, is connection to each other. So it's a simple three-step discipleship process to bring them from spiritual infancy, babyhood, to adulthood or maturity. They've got to be connected to the Word. Connected to who? The church, and connected to brothers and sisters in Christ. You got to go through that process and that progression in your discipleship of new baby Christians. Look at what Romans 10:17 says. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They need to get faith. They need to hear the Word of God. And not just continue to hear everything that the world is telling them or the lies of their, like I said, unbelieving and unfaithful friends or family members. 2 Peter 2:1-2 says, therefore, laying aside all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, he's talking about babies again, desire the pure milk of the Word so that you may grow. Why do we need the milk of the Word? So that we can grow. Why do we need to get connected to the Word? So that we can grow. See, without a balanced diet, a believer can become malnourished. And that's where weakness and spiritual problems come. Even worse, their understanding of the Lord can become malformed. In other words, they can have twisted view of God. And so that's where we get the phrase or the term religious brainwash. Or you've heard me say it one time before. I'm just repeating what Brother Kenneth Hagin said. He said, some Christians are like cement. You know what they do with cement? They put the mix in there and they mix it up. And then they let it set. So some Christians are mixed up, thoroughly mixed up, and well set in their ways. I'm trying to get y'all to smile tonight. Don't be a cement Christian where you mixed up, where you say, I'm going to mix a little religion and mix a little tradition in with my newfound spirituality. And then so, because a lot of times when you're coming out of a very strong religious background and upbringing, sometimes and a lot of times you have to unlearn some things. And you have to unlearn before you can learn and relearn the right things. But unlearning is hard. You know, it's just like taking twice the effort because, you know, just like you miss an exit on these freeways here in San Antonio, we have these access roads and the exits, and they have the turnarounds. So if you miss it, you may have to drive all the way further to the next exit and then turn around so you can do what you might have to do that in unlearning some things that you learn. So as you grow and develop, you've got to that some of that is unlearning. And we talked about the power of the Word of God. It's good for doctrine. It's good for reproof. It's good for correction. It's good for instruction in righteousness. Why? Because there's some things you need to dismantle. You need to dismantle religious traditions and old non-God ideas and old wise fables, wise tales and fables. You can't be caught up in all that stuff because you'll be mixed up. You'll be a cement Christian. See, believers have to have a lifestyle that includes continual feeding on the Word of God. Everybody say continual. Feeding on the Word of God. Now, you know, a baby doesn't drink much milk at first. Then they get a lot of milk. Then they drink. They seem like they got a hollow leg. They keep drinking. And, of course, you know, then they'll start getting solid food. The same thing with a new Christian. You got to get them continuously feeding on the milk of the Word so that they can grow and mature and continue to grow and mature throughout their spiritual journey. Now let's look at some examples of when people did not grow and how Paul, by the Holy Spirit, called them. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. It says in the New King James Bible, "For though by this time." Now a lot of people say, well, what's this time frame? What's the time frame? Well, spiritual growth and natural growth are similar but not the same. Can you want me to say that again? They're similar but not the same. In other words, usually we say in the natural, in the USA, they say that, you know, 18 months, 0 to 18 months, a person becomes an illegal adult. Really 21 now, you know. But, you know, 18, they can go in the military. But, you know, that kind of stuff. But So they're usually out of high school. They have out of all their formal education in that sense. At that time, unless they elect to go to college and further their education. But usually 0 to 18 is usually the range. And you expect them to mature and develop and grow into an adult. But in this case, the spiritual sense, on the average, they say it's about 4 years, 3.5, 4 years. Jesus was with his disciples 3.5 years. And he came back after they rose from the dead and rebuked them for being slow of heart to believe and upbraided them for their unbelief. And in Corinthians, what case we're going to read next, Paul was there 3 years, and he had to write back to them after a year or so and tell them, why are you still carnal? So let's just say on average 3 to 5 years, which would make it 4 years. So let's say 4 years is the time you should be teaching. Now, if you want to self-assess, you say, okay, how long have I been in the kingdom? How long have I been a Christian believer and Christ follower? Well, 4 years I should be capable and competent to teach. 4 years. Now, don't get nervous. Don't get embarrassed. But he's saying here, he's just giving us an indictment or a warning about spiritual immaturity. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone else to teach you again. The first principles of the oracle of God. Now, why did I say 4 years? Because spiritual things are more advanced and accelerated than natural things. And again, the first principles of the oracle of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Now, we know in the natural, a four-year-old should be eating solid food. Now, a four-year-old Christian should be eating solid food. He said, for everyone who partakes only of milk. Now, you'll notice the theme in the New Testament is you need milk, and you need to eat it, or you need meat. You can handle meat. Now, a lot of people can handle steak and potatoes, solid food. So he says, who partakes of milk? Only in milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a what? He locates on. He's a baby. Right? But solid food belongs to those who are of who? Full age, who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, or in other words, they've been developed in spiritual things, spiritual truths, to discern both good and evil. So a baby doesn't know what's right and wrong. They'll play with fire unless they're taught. Fire can burn you. They'll play with gun if you put a gun in their hand. You know, it's interesting because you kind of learn these things, especially when you're at grandparent stage like we are. And, you know, we put water pistols or a little play toy gun thing, and you know, grandson is, he'll shoot right at you. He don't know, don't shoot people. He's got to learn that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you're a baby, you're unskilled. That means you can't handle the truths of the Word of God appropriately. In other words, you're not qualified to teach because you're still becoming. Now, he said this time you should have been teaching. Praise the Lord. Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says it this way. Read verse 1 through 4, same translation. New King James Version. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual, but as carnal. So now he begins to categorize who's a carnal Christian, who's a spiritual Christian. But as babes in Christ, that's the carnal ones. So carnal Christians are babies, babyish. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. Same thing. Some translations, King James says meat. For now, until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, are you still not able? For you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife. Now he begins to describe carnality. Divisions among you, are you not carnal and behave like mere men? In other words, you get mad, fuss, cuss, fly off the handle, just like Christians do. I mean, non-Christians do. Excuse me. Just like non-Christians do. For when one says, I am a Paul, and I am another, and I'm Apollos, are you not carnal? So he introduces another concept. When you practice sectarianism, that's carnal. In other words, when you say, this is my favorite person, when you show distinctions, favorites, we call it today prejudice, racism, when you make distinctions with your faith and with your focus, then you're practicing sectarianism. I know it's a fancy theological term, but that means that's carnality. That's not spirituality. Amen. And so you have what we call, in common language, style preferences. And what happens with style preferences? People listen to their favorites, and they play their favorites, but they don't play anybody else. And woe unto them if their pastor is not their favorite, then they'll feed on somebody else outside the church and not listen to the man or woman of God that they've been set under in the church. And they always talk about what they heard outside the church from their favorite. Everybody's quiet in here. I hope y'all shouting online. Give me some praise, God. Give me some life. Amen. Because that's carnality. That's not spirituality. See, as we connect new Christians to the Word of God, they need milk, not meat, because they are spiritual babies. Now, what are some of the marks of immaturity? Babyishness, bitterness, battling. That means strife, means to squabble or be in discord. They always got some text war or talking war with somebody. They're always argumentative, full of debates, and then battling, brokenness. A carnal person always choosing sides. They're always causing divisive or doing divisionary work. In other words, they're choosing sides. This is my favorite. This is my favorite. You know, I even had to learn personally. I didn't learn. I can't hate other teams or other players, because I like sports. Because I could be opening a door to hate and carnality. Come on now. Are y'all with me tonight? And somebody said, well, I can't stand that. I hate that person. And I even told brother here, I told him, hey, if he, the person who went to another team, if he wins, I'm going to celebrate. I'm not going to complain and criticize. But some people are full of haterade. And they're ultra competitive and ultra choosing, always choosing sides, which is carnality. That is brokenness. You know, I watch basketball because I love the sport and the game in a sense of I appreciate it. I don't love it like I love God or love people. I appreciate it. I appreciate what it takes to do it. I like the thought and concept of it. But I'm not picking sides and saying, man, I hate this team. I'm going to celebrate people win. I'm going to weep with those who lose. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm practicing not living a lifestyle of brokenness. And y'all know where I'm going. I'm not going to go there, but y'all know where I'm going. This culture is very broken. There's color wars. There's class wars. There's culture wars. What is that? Most people are broken. And then barrenness. What is barrenness? But that's a proof in the pudding. That's the eating. Barrenness just simply means what? You're not bearing any spiritual fruit. I mean, that can be seen. Are you showing evidence? Are there telltale signs that you are producing fruit, spiritual fruit? We're supposed to be bearing spiritual fruit time and a time again. Remember Psalms 92. We'll be in old age, we'll be fresh and flourishing. We will be bearing fruit and when? Our old age. That means when we're the end, we got almost a foot in the grave, we're still bearing fruit. Because the Bible doesn't teach retire. That's not a word. It's refire. Amen. God didn't save you and then keep you for 50 years saved. So you can take all that knowledge, wisdom, and skill to the grave. Praise God. There's still more to pass on and leave a legacy of. Now, some of the indicators of spiritual growth and maturity on a natural side is the way you talk. You know, it's very fascinating, again, watching our grandson grow up, because he's still learning to talk. And sometimes he talks and refers to the third person. And you got to kind of really tune your ears trying to figure out and comprehend, what is he saying? What is he trying to tell me? Or he's trying to explain to me, pop, 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 and he's doing this hand. And I have to kind of slow down and try to figure out, okay, what is he trying to say? See, babies don't know how to talk well. Spiritual babies the same way. They'll slip and cuss and fuss and use fighting words with their mouths. They clap back, they talk back, they complain, they criticize. They even get cynical. Why? Because they haven't learned to discipline their speech. They hadn't comprehended that life and death are in the power of their tongue. Your words and your confessions locate you and identify where your faith is. You can't say, well, I'm just saying. Yeah, you are just saying. You're just saying where your faith is at. Number two, how do we tell we're growing and mature? The way the Word of God has transformed your mind. We often says the Word of God is to govern our lives in three prominent areas: what we think, what we say, and what we do. So the first big milestone in your maturity road and your growth road is that the Word of God is governing what you think. So you got to think about, what does my mind worry? If my mind is worrying, then I'm yielding to fear a lot, fearful thoughts, what we call destructive thoughts. Does my mind wander too much? Wander is just an indication of boredom and complacency. That means I'm not actively doing what I'm called and created and commanded by God to be doing. That's why people play games so long. Why? Because they're not necessarily bitter, they're bored. And bored people typically doubt and walk in disbelief of God and disobey God. Why? Because they're bored. Their mind wanders off in other areas and they get in trouble. Well, then, of course, we know wicked thoughts are evil thoughts. That means you're thinking about destructive. You're thinking about evil. That's not good. Amen. Our Word of God has to renew our mind. It has to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Number three, how the Word of God has transfigured the manner and means by which you control and govern your body. The Bible teaches us that we are to possess our vessels in honor. We are to present our bodies and our spirits holy before the Lord. So it's a big deal. Everybody say it's a big deal. It's a big deal to God what you do with your body. Because he said, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. That means that my body belongs to God. I must treat it with honor, with holiness, with high regard to giving glory to God. That means I don't do things with my body that would displease the Lord. The Word of God has to go. When you know, somebody said, well, let's go fool around. What does the Word of God say? Let's go out here and party and get drunk. Let's just blow it out one night. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God is supposed to be governing my body. How you discipline your body. Number four, the manifestation and forward movement of your growth in grace. That means you're serving and supporting, and in your generosity, you're sowing and giving. So in other words, we're not supposed to be serving down. We're supposed to be serving up. Our serving levels are supposed to be going up to another level. Our giving levels are supposed to be going up to another level. That means our serving grace and our giving grace should be increasing, not decreasing. So we should be increasing in our generosity and also increasing in our serving. See, you will know maturity, growth, and health is occurring when your revelation knowledge grows in the Word of God and the things of God. You have more revelation. That's spiritual knowledge. That's higher knowledge. That's advanced knowledge of God and the things of God. And then number two, your understanding increases to the degree that you can teach it by precept. That means you can tell people the concept of this. You can clearly explain the principles about this. And you can clearly demonstrate the practices of this. So you teach by precept, by principle, and by practice. You're an example. You're an explainer, but you're also an example. You can expound, explain, and be an example. And, of course, number three, your skill is developed in the application and use of the Word of God in the areas of your life. Now, again, we were reading that in Hebrews. We'll go back there just a minute. He said, but solid for everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled. They can't find the Scriptures. They haven't searched the Scriptures. Now, They know a skilled person knows I can depend on the Holy Spirit because he's my minister of revelation. In other words, I can have supernatural recall of stuff I heard 5 years ago because I learned it and I received it. I learned it and I received it in church. And so I'm not depending on my brain, my noggin to figure out what I was taught 5 years ago. The Holy Spirit, come on now, the Holy Spirit, my teacher, my guide, the one who brings all things to my remembrance, can bring it up out of my spirit and recall it to my mind and say, there it is. You learned it. You received it. Now act upon it right now. But you're unskilled. Y'all know we're in the information age. You can't keep all the information in your head. We need the Holy Spirit more now than ever. Amen. Unskilled in words, right? He's a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are what? Full of age. And those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, it's good when you're growing and when you're healthy. It's not good when you're not growing and you're not healthy. Now, personal story. So nobody can get mad at me. There was a time where I stopped growing. Now, this is before we went to Rhema. We was associate pastors, assistant pastors. We were elders at the church on the East Coast. And it was going on 3 months where I just stopped taking notes. Why? I was wandering, drifting, spiritual drifting. And, of course, church became boring or dull to me. Now, when church becomes dull to you, then you a lot of people just immediately point at everybody else as the problem. But they never look at the fact that I'm the problem or I'm the problem's with me. And so I'm thinking, man, we've been here almost 4 years. You know, we were in military assignment. Been here almost 4 years and Yeah. And I was just disconnecting. We're talking about connecting to the Word. And this is how people can sit in church and disconnect. Stir fraught with the Word. And so I stopped taking notes. I stopped paying attention. I stop listening, and I stop learning, and I stop receiving. And as a result, things get dull, boring. Things get dark. That means there's no light coming, no revelation coming. Things get dim with my vision and my foresight, spiritually speaking. I'm not talking about eyesight. My foresight. That means I can't see where to go. And then, of course, that leads to a path of discretion and defection and, of course, disconnection. And the Holy Spirit, just like I was looking at my wife right now, he spoke to me right behind me. He said, "What are you doing?" And I kind of woke me up and startled me. And I said, "Huh?" He said, "You're no longer taking notes. You're no longer paying attention. You're even on the front row." I was in the elder seat, the leadership seat. The elder seat, not paying attention at all. Disconnecting. He said, "You're in a dangerous place right now." He said, "You need to turn this around." And then he did. You know, I looked at my notes, and it was almost 3 months since I took a note on any of the sermons. He said, "Your hunger for the word has waned. You're no longer hungry and thirsty for the word or the things of the word or things of God." And so I began to dig again and dig and stir myself up again. And then, of course, you know, he said, "You're no longer drawing on the gift of God that I put in front of you," meaning the pastors. "You're not drawing on them. So you're not receiving anything because you've devalued and depreciated the gift." And like I said, when you don't value the things of God, you don't qualify for them. Sunday, we said it Sunday. You don't qualify to receive them. And even serving. And so anyway, repented, you know, had to get before God and do this process, get back on fire, get back focused on the thing of God. You know, went to Rhema, and we saw some other ministers, and we observed, because you learn by observation, association, and teachings. Observations, associations, and teachings. And so you observe other ministers. I can call them out by name, and we'd all know them. And you watch them, and how they would not be distracted when Dad Hagin, Brother Kennedy Hagin, would teach. I mean, sometimes, Lisa knows this, sometimes he'd be teaching 2 hours, 2.5 hours. But those guys wouldn't have to get up. They wouldn't have to go to the bathroom. They were taking notes. They had their Bible open, and they were drawing on the gift of God. Connected to the word. Connected to the voice and the vessel that ministers the word to them. Got to stay connected. And you know, and I learned about some other aspects of the word. Not only do you feed, but then there's no side effects for feeding extra. So there's some things I didn't get. So I was instructed by the Lord, go get this. Back then it was cassette tape. Anybody remember cassette tape? Get the cassette tape and then play it. And sometimes going to work, you know, I worked in North Tulsa at that time. 25, 30 minutes, get to the place of work. I could listen to the whole side in one drive and then listen to the rest. And then that whole week, 5 days, I just flip it back over, 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 flip it back over. Why? Connected to the word. Hungry for the word. And we got to think about it. We got to teach people how to connect to the word. We have the word going out in different channels and mediums and forms right now, more than we've ever had. But so many people are disconnected and distracted. Their answer could have been on Sunday's message, but they didn't watch it. They didn't listen to it. The answer could have been on tonight or but they got the Facebook Live on or whatever, and they're cooking. Or they got something else going on over here that they're not focused on in the Word. And see, when you don't put the Word first place in your life, the Word of God won't be second place in your life. You got to put the Word first. Why do we come? What's the first connection? We need to connect with the Word. What does the Word say? What does God say about this? Some ministers say, I wouldn't even eat natural food before I ate spiritual food. Some of us will get food in our body in a case of 3 hot meals a day, but won't get a snack of the spirit through food in their spirit once a week. We got to fall back in love with the Word. We got to value the Word, the preaching. We got to honor and esteem the preaching and teaching of the Word. That's why we support. That's why we get, because you're getting the Word. Everybody say the Word of God. Let's look at a couple more scriptures and we'll pack it up here. Praise God. 1 Peter, 2 Peter. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all still good? Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1. Everybody say, Lord, help me stay connected to the Word of God. But he said, verse number two. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things. Everybody say, I've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Who's called me by glory and virtue. Hallelujah. So in verse 4 it says, but we have been given, he's given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith. Everybody say, add to my faith. See, you're supposed to grow in faith, but what do you need to add to it? There's 7 faith additives. 7 vital faith additives. Look at this. He said, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. And if these things are yours and abound, you shall neither be barren. Everybody say, no, I won't be barren. Now, what was one of the characteristics of a carnal Christian? Barrenness. They had no spiritual fruit. Now, there are 9 fruit of the Spirit that everyone should be cultivating and developing in their life. Galatians 5 talks about this. 9, so that you won't be barren in those, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, you don't just be talking the talk and saying, well, I know the Lord, but there's no fruit of you knowing the Lord in your life. So for he who lacks these things is what? You got short-sightedness, or even to blindness, and has forgotten that he's cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Now, that's a word that's also known for backsliding. How do people backslide and disconnect? They disconnect from the Word. They don't add these things to their faith. He said, you'll never stumble. In other words, you want to keep yourself from backsliding? Well, add these things to your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if someone interests, will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Somebody say, glory to God. Come on, stand with me and thank the Lord right now. Hallelujah, as we have our announcer and our offering time. Praise God. Come on, lift your hands and thank God. Thank you, Lord.